All right. I feel I'm being violated right now, and I don't want anybody anybody to police my usage of violate, but I'm being violated.
All right, hold on. Let me put him up. So
this is a real violation.
Because he's going to be making tons of noise.
By the way, here's the thing.
Well, but he's going to be panting. He's going to be
I don't mind him laying on me, but he keeps moving. That's more of what it is. Like,
Well, listen to him breathing.
Yeah, Penny. I feel like I'm...
We love you, bud. Let's put you up for a little bit, okay? Come on.
I feel like I'm being hotboxed.
Come on, boy.
I feel like I've just said... Ah!
Are you okay? Oh, my God. Did you?
Yeah. Oh. He got me. He got me. He got me right in the crotch. His little nails. I'm glad I'm wearing underwear. I just had a moment. I just had a moment. It was very intimate. And then I started to laugh because I can hear that I have a wheeze, and I can really hear it when I edit these episodes. I can hear my wheeze in the laugh, and I just feel so bad for the wheeze. Like, I have a wheeze in my laugh. And so I'm like, oh, God.
The weasel.
I am a weasel. The listeners have to listen to me wheezing. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Reality Bites, the podcast where we'll deep dive into this week's buzziest reality TV and pop culture happenings.
I'm Betsy, and while I may be 9 to 5 by day, I'm a reality connoisseur by night.
And I'm JJ, a reality TV producer by trade, but my favorite pastime is dishing unfiltered dirt and behind-the-scenes scoop. We'll tackle the biggest and best water cooler moments of the week through an insider lens you won't find anywhere else.
Buckle up, buttercups.
Please don't tell me it's about Tom.
It's about Tom.
This is Reality Bites.
She's hitting the vape hard, guys.
Not as hard as I got touched.
Okay.
Right then and there.
And his nails are very long. Sorry, but that was like a horror movie. Really?
It really was. Where'd the vape pen go? Oh, God.
I heard something hit the ground. Was that your phone or was that the...
It was my phone. Hold on one second.
Oh, it's in your legs.
It's always in my legs.
By the way. I spotted it.
Not that long.
Right between the legs.
Not that long ago. I was like searching... I was sitting cross-legged in bed, and I couldn't find the vape pen. I was, like, looking for it everywhere, like a manic person, but not manic enough to actually get my ass up. And finally, when I gave up, I was like, oh, fine, I'll get out of the bed.
It was right there.
No, it was stuck between my thighs and my stomach.
Oh, my God. That is the moment.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's how I feel sometimes when I'm, like, frantically looking
I realized...
for my sunglasses. I'm like, oh, they're on my head.
Oh, yeah. It's like when I give somebody my phone to order food, and then I'm like, where's my phone?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
God, I'm such a fucking loser.
But I also feel like a lot of people do that.
Of course they do.
So it's not a loser. It's relatable. Okay.
My favorite is when I drop my phone on my face.
Oh, my God. Because you're lying on the bed? Yes. Oh, I can't do that.
And then I get so...
My arms aren't even strong enough to hold my tiny phone up that long. I'm like, I don't want to fucking do this. So just lay it down next to me. So we are now week two of Southern Charm. And I have
I really
enjoy the first episode, but I kind of like this one a little bit more. I feel like the cast was settled in. I felt we got to know Olivia a little bit better.
Yes, we did.
I'm kind of jumping all over, but I really loved that. I put it in quotations, the double date between Olivia and Austin and Shep and is Taylor?
Taylor.
Okay. And I thought it was so cute later on in the episode when they were at Naomi's, whatever, her coming home party, whatever she called it.
I keep calling it an oyster roast and it's not. Oh. It's a fucking seafood platter, poo-poo platter party.
Is that a thing?
An oyster roast?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a crawfish boil, but oysters.
Okay. Well, yeah, whatever that was. Olivia was talking to someone. She's like, yeah, you know, Shep and Austin crashed Taylor and my date. And I was like, oh, that is so cute. I really like that scene. But yeah, I enjoyed this episode, I think, from beginning to end. And of course, there are some moments that, of course, we will talk about. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. I just found myself like they're like the boys, I call them boys because I don't want to call them men, but the boys really like, I really enjoyed them for the most part. Nobody really pissed me off. Even Austin, which is saying a lot for me, but like, I just, he didn't bother me. He really didn't bother me this
guys,
episode.
Guys, the tides are turning.
Just so y'all know, the Austin of Southern Charm is the Kyle from Beverly Hills for me. Sort of. I mean, very different, but
very different, but same. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
But I don't know. What did you think? What were your overall, takes of episode two?
I really enjoyed it. Like you, I enjoyed it more than the first episode, mm-hmm. but I never count the first episode. I count it as a way to connect from last season and intro, but that's really what all it is to me. They don't really get heavy into anything. And most first episodes of shows don't, because they're stating the union, they're restating the state, letting you know kind of where everyone's mm-hmm. at. So nothing's really in depth.
Yeah.
So naturally, yes, I like this episode. I like this episode better because it was funny, lighthearted.
Yeah.
There was drama, but it didn't feel catastrophic.
Yeah. Well, it didn't feel show-stopping, like, oh my God, this is so intense. Everything's going to be revolved around this.
I just had an idea, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Okay.
Do you think that it's plausible that you liked the episode more because Catherine wasn't in it as much? She had one scene. She had some round robins in one scene.
She wasn't in the second episode, is what you're saying, as much.
No. In the second episode, she's not really around at all. She pops in once because she's not invited to anything and all the other scenes. Because we left she's off not, last episode, The Great Gatsby.
Right.
And it dawned on me just in this moment, because she's only in one scene, and it's, I feel like for the most part, it's just flashes. Like, she's not actually in the episode.
Yeah, they show an argument between the boyfriend, Caleb, and her. But it's honestly more, he gets featured more in this episode because he's in that car ride talking to his mom.
But did you kind of forget about her? Like, because I honestly didn't think about it until now. I go, she really wasn't in this episode.
I forget about her, but she's not a castmate that, like, when I see her in a scene, I'm not like, oh God, Catherine's here. Yeah. So I don't think it necessarily bothers me either way. I don't know. I think I just liked seeing the double date. I always like when Patricia makes an appearance, even if it's on the phone. I enjoy that.
Yes, I love her.
I'm trying to think of some of the other scenes. I didn't really like the scene with Caleb talking to his mom. I thought that was some good tissue with, like, okay, more of a background on who he is individually without Catherine. And then that was a good insight on how everyone really is connected in this town, the fact that, like, Catherine knew his cousin and his cousin's, I guess, girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or I don't remember. So I thought that was some, like, good connection that we could have there.
The only thing that felt weird to me was the scene where we were just talking about Caleb's in the car. He calls his mom and then they flash, but the flash is really, really long
of the fight.
Yeah. The flash is basically the scene. So I think they probably repurposed the car scene to have it connect so they could flash to the actual meat of
and having him tell his mom, like, what happened in his side of the story and the argument. Yeah, I thought that was interesting because, you know, now talking with you, I always pay attention to the round robins, and that was a round robin at the beginning. Mm-hmm. They were in the kitchen and she was, like, making coffee, but you could already tell that the energy was off. But the scene was so fast.
Well, doesn't he say something like, well, why? I could just go downstairs and get Starbucks.
I don't even know what he said. Really, really quick scene. But that's obviously the scene they call back to.
Yeah.
So obviously whomever, I assume, got there to shoot that day, it was that a continuance of that scene that they had to have called back to.
The whole scene was starting with coffee. Probably that was probably the preamble, making coffee. And then the rest of the scene was what we saw.
Yeah.
And they repurposed the top of the scene as a round robin, knowing that it's totally fine. Yeah, because it's going to go back to that scene anyway.
Well, and it kind of goes to show, like, I know he's, and I know, you know, I don't understand how all this works, but, like, you're saying he's in the key art, which, like, technically means he's more of, like, an A-cast member.
Yes.
Which I guess, in a sense, it's interesting because he doesn't seem, at least right now, it doesn't seem like he has a strong connection to any other castmate besides Catherine. So like his standalone scene has to be him driving alone in a car talking to his mom. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, it kind of sucks because it's kind of like a rectangle is always a square, but a square is never a rectangle. I don't know if this analogy is going to work, but
well, not with me because I did not do well in geometry.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't do well in geometry. Shapes. Either. Yeah.
But go on with your speech.
What I was going to say is when you start the season, if you start out as an A cast member, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get demoted if you're not bringing it or you're not doing enough. You'll just not be featured. And we kind of talked about this, I think, the last episode. Mm-hmm. But for instance, someone like Naomi, she could start as a B and work her way up to an A if she does well. But if you start as an A, you don't necessarily get demoted. And I'm curious because...
You mean within that season, though? He could get demoted next season.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yes. Okay. And because he's still in the key art, either he brings it this season or it's because, you know, maybe he didn't, but he was cast as an A, so.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. He's just very quiet.
Yeah.
He's very calm. I mean, look, just juxtaposed against Catherine.
Yeah.
He's a whisper and she's a scream.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. I'll have to see more of their dynamic, I think. But
I think it's funny that Naomi calls Patricia. Like, are you sincerely asking Patricia's advice on whether or not you should invite Catherine? Did you think for a moment that Patricia was going to say yes? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a good way to get Patricia on the phone.
You know what I like to tell people? You are the company you keep.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And then Naomi's like, ooh, she has a look of fright on her face.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of, I'm only thinking of, I mean.
I think we can't really think of anything because all of the scenes are rooted in Austin and Craig and Naomi.
Yeah, they're all talking about each other. Oh, this was what I was going to say, though, that, you know, I feel like I'm forgetting about Leva, which, I mean, listen.
I don't think we talked about her at all in the last
episode. I don't think we did either.
Episode.
But, and she's kind of obsolete in this episode, too. Like, but what's weird is that I thought she was beautiful last season. I think she's still beautiful, but... And I think when she's in like the scenes and stuff, she looks kind of how I remember her looking. But then when I look at her in her confessional, I'm like, you look like an entirely different person to me. And if I didn't know who it was and I didn't have her name there, I would, not that I wouldn't be able to figure it out, but it would have taken me like a few seconds to be like, who the fuck is that? She just looks different to me in her confessionals.
Well, it looks like she lost weight from last season to this season. I don't know if that's it, but...
But it's also something... I mean, maybe that's it, but also, like, her hair. I mean, there's something... She just looks different to me. But what's weird is that in these, like, the episodes and the scenes, she looks kind of the same how I remember her. I don't necessarily think that she's gotten, like, plastic surgery. She just looks different to me. And I think it's more than just, like, oh, she... Because she was never heavy. So I don't think... I mean, maybe she lost, like, 5 or 10 pounds. But, like, there's something else that looks different to me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is plastic surgery.
Did you not get
that sense when you were looking at her confessional that she looked... I just had to do a double take. Maybe it's been a while.
I don't know if it's this, but what I will say about first season cast members... They always lose so much weight between their first and second season. It always happens because they see themselves on TV and they pick themselves apart and they always come back thinner. Every show I've ever worked on with either a new cast member or if it's first season, they always come back thinner in the next season.
Well,
and
I never even thought she needed to lose any weight, but she looks very different.
Well, it's because she's not wearing a disco ball outfit this season. I think her looks are much more polished. I think I'm telling you, this is what happens. It's not that you change, but you're like, oh, what was I thinking wearing that?
Yeah.
Because you start to understand that clothing doesn't always translate on camera the way it does in person.
Yeah.
And it's that red sequin interview look she wore last season.
I mean, I don't even remember that.
I do. Vividly. Well, and so I just think her interview look.
But it's
pretty.
It's interesting. Yeah. No, she looks great. She does. She looks great. I did think she looked notably different. But it's interesting. I mean, I know that we're only 2 episodes in, but like, you lift Leva out and nothing's different, right? Am I wrong or am I right?
You're absolutely correct.
So I don't even think she was, she must have been in the first episode. I just don't remember it. But this episode, she had a little bit of context because she was talking to Austin on the phone. They were talking about Naomi.
Oh, that's right.
I also love to give Austin a little credit because this will not happen, I guarantee you, throughout the season
guys,
of our together.
Guys, he gets dragged so hard. He walks into a room and they're like, oh, he's here.
Oh, well, that kind of makes me sad.
Well, in this episode, because we're going into this, talking about the scene where he talks to Leva on the phone. When I was watching it, I thought, wow, he's working. He's really at it. And
that's
I go,
what I was going
to
say.
Well, but then I go, oh, they're going to drag him for that. They're going to say he's faking it. Because they just, here's the thing. Whether they actually feel this way or not, he's so easy to poke at that he could be doing something really nice and it'll be, oh, he's doing that mirror. You know, he's not really working. He's fake working. I mean, they'll say anything.
Well, look at that scene. That scene did not help him because he tried to call Leva to, it sounded like he was calling to try to do like a deal. And she's like, oh, that is not what I thought. I didn't think you were calling me for this. So like, clearly she thought that he was calling just to gossip and he tried to do a little business deal. And she's like, wow, that is not what I thought you were calling. So, and then he got him. He was like, oh yeah, sorry. The thing about Austin is that Austin just kind of plays into it though. He's like, all right, yeah, let's do the gossip.
Yeah.
So
he's a big gossip. Yeah. He is.
But isn't everybody on that show?
Yeah, but it's Austin. So the people just say he's the gossip. Like, I'm serious. Craig gossips no more than Austin does, but Austin's horrible. Mm. It's an unfortunate, but it's perpetuated from being on three different shows on the network. No one gets a break of him. So they just like, they can't go, oh, we hated him last season, but it's been so long. Like, ooh, what's Austin up to?
Do you think he'll do that again?
Go to Summer House? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And he shouldn't. He should not go.
Yeah.
If he goes, I would be led to believe that they're paying him a lot of money to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but.
Yeah, so he talks about.
Oh, yeah. They talk about.
Yeah, they're talking.
He's talking to Leva and talking about Naomi and Craig, and they're kind of speculating that there has to be more to this. There has to be leftover feelings. They can't, as Austin said, Craig just can't sleep with a woman. Has to be more there. It has to, and this is the part I love, has to at least be a week or a month. 2 months or whatever he says. I'm like, that is so specific.
Also, how does he know that?
I don't know that he does, but I just love that he's like, has to at least be a week that he's, he like, just he can't spying? Sleep with a woman.
Does he do drive-bys?
Maybe he knows from personal experience. I have no idea. I don't know, but I just love that call out. And then Leva, you know, Leva's like, yeah, I agree. There's definitely something there.
I mean, yeah. I think I was kind of surprised how much Leva actually spilled what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I was just surprised she went as in-depth as she did.
Well, what did she say? She said that they were in Vegas together.
Well, Austin asks her, like, you know, you were there. You were in Vegas. What happened? And Leva explains that, you know, she's there in Vegas. Craig's there in Vegas for something else. And Naomi was there. And Leva calls Naomi to see if she wants to meet up with lunch. And I think she suggests that Craig, Naomi, and herself go to lunch. So when she tells Naomi that, that sparks Naomi to be like, well, Craig's in my room right now. And Leva's kind of shook by that because even though, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we always think our friends are going to hook up with their exes.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
And not for nothing. We already, at this point, know that Craig's dating Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And has been dating her.
But are they exclusive?
My guess is no, but come on. Here's the thing. No, I don't think they're exclusive because if I can remember correctly, dating back to the social media and during that time, they become exclusive at Kyle and Amanda's wedding. And that wedding is at the end of September. My point is, yes, we know that they're not exclusive because they talked about it on Summer House. And that's all well and good. And that's fine. However, being like not being exclusive is so different than not being exclusive and you slept with your ex-girlfriend,
right,
who was on a Bravo show. Mm-hmm. So there is a facet to that where it's like, because Naomi is an OG, she's been around forever. Mm-hmm. And we all know that Naomi was, or arguably is,
the love of his life.
My life. One life to
live.
We
shared a snack tray together.
God.
And Naomi's like, how do you remember that? He's like, I sleep with that snack tray every night. Yeah. I love it.
I polish it.
He also just seemed wasted this episode. Am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
He just seemed wasted.
Drunk.
He held himself together. He wasn't like falling over, but I'm just like, he just seemed very drunk.
Yeah.
And I also love, this is so random, but I'm going to forget it if I don't say it now. I also loved, because I noticed it, and JJ knows me, I don't notice things like this very often, but I did notice that basically Austin and Craig were wearing like the same fucking shirt. And then I loved when Madison pointed it out later, she's like, y'all are wearing the same shirt. And they're like, ugh. I mean, I guess they were different colors a little bit, but.
And I think one was long sleeve, one was short sleeve, but it didn't matter. The pattern was the same.
They are. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But, it's like a shirt you buy like Tommy Bahamas. The kiosk Tommy Bahamas at the airport.
Oh my God.
When you land in the Bahamas.
She's like, y'all got to figure it out. Y'all are wearing the same shirt. And I'm like, exactly. Figure it out.
I'm curious, going back to the foursome date.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the first time, I mean, we've seen Austin and Olivia together, but this is the first time we're really seeing them in a more intimate space, even though Shep and Taylor are there. How did you feel about that? And also, all the content, all the things that they talked about at dinner, did it feel like to you that Austin was just really being a gossiper? I don't know. It felt natural to me. It felt like they were all talking about the same thing and they were all equally as invested.
Yeah, I mean, I don't single him out. I didn't think that he was bringing things to the table. No, I thought they were all talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think Shep was equally as well. I actually really enjoyed that scene. I thought it was fun. I appreciate the fact that Olivia likes Austin's sense of humor. I think that he should keep her if she wants him. Because,
solely on that.
Well, because I don't know who else is going to. So like, I like that. I really like her. But yeah, Austin just didn't really bother me at all. And I kind of liked that scene. I liked, I think he told some type of joke and it didn't land very well, but she thought it was hilarious.
What?
I don't know. It wasn't like an off color, like a bad joke.
I know,
joke.
By the way, my response didn't match what I was thinking.
Oh my God, he's canceled. It wasn't anything like that. It was like, they don't have shrimp here.
My emotions didn't match.
No, they didn't.
What I actually felt, which was, it was more like, how bad was the, like, well, not bad, but how
it's also my fault. It's my fault because I just remember the feeling, but I of course cannot remember what he said. Anyway, I just remember she thought that he was really funny and I thought Austin better hold on to her.
Yeah.
He's
really cheesy to me.
Yeah, he does seem cheesy.
In the last episode, Olivia goes, I'm hot, because she's temperature hot. And he goes, yeah, I know. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, that's goofy.
Like, I get, it's just too goofy for me.
I did like though, and I had to think, he's like, did you have drinks with the roomies? And I totally fucking forgot that she lived with her family. And I was like, oh, how sweet. Like, he knows that she's like having drinks with her roommates and stuff. And then I remember, I'm like, oh, because I think they flashback to her. I was like, oh, he means that she have drinks with her parents. And I think that's why I love her, because she loves her family and she drinks with her family. And that's how I am. And so I have a very sweet spot for her. Or I guess a soft spot is how you should say it. But I really like that scene. And I thought Shep was endearing in that scene. Yeah. And I like Taylor. Yeah.
I also think their feelings about Craig and not being around are genuine.
Yeah.
I know that it's easy to lean into the, they're just jealous. I mean, sure. Can I say unequivocally that they're not jealous of him? No. But I don't think it's more that they're jealous than it is that Craig hasn't really been around.
Yeah.
Right. And they end up talking about it later at Naomi's, but he just really hasn't been around. And I think I sometimes wonder if Austin's more sensitive than he leads on. So his feelings,
yes, I think
exactly.
So.
Well, his feelings about Craig not being around and Shep feeling that way, they're coming from a place of, they just kind of missed their friend.
Yeah.
And now that he's a Bravo celebrity of low-level fame.
Craig.
Oh. Mid-level. I'll give him mid-level. Craig, mid-level fame. You know?
Oh.
He's gotten too big for his britches.
Well, and I think, like, what you're saying, is jealousy the right word? I don't really know, but I think Craig has been, like, the lovable fuck-up, right?
Yeah.
He's always the guy
that's the prodigal son.
Yeah, he's always the guy that says he's going to do something, never does it. You know, and you just love him anyway. He just fucks up all the time.
I mean, he's still renovating his home 5 years later.
Okay, exactly. I didn't even know that, but exactly. Yeah. So I think there's part of it that's like, wow, he actually is doing something he said he was going to do. He is, you know, regaining some success. I think there might be a little bit of that neither of them would want to admit that might be a factor or a fraction of it. But yeah, I do think it is also more that they might just miss their friend. And
yeah.
I don't know. Definitely some cracks.
Oh, 100%.
For sure. And do you think, I mean, I don't know where this season is going, but just based off of what I've seen in the first two episodes, and I'm a betting woman, and I don't know if I can bet on this, but do you think that Craig and Paige are going to make it through the viewing of this show? Like, I think they're still together right now, but all the episodes have not come out, so... I mean, I know that you don't know, but like what, just based on what we've seen, how do you feel? What do you think? Cause I'm nervous.
Well, what's interesting is that when I was watching the watch with Madison and Craig, the mm-hmm. reunions, Craig actually admits in one of the episodes, I can't remember one or two, admits that he doesn't watch the show. He doesn't watch the episodes. He doesn't
Ramona.
Watch
Ramona. Oh, no, he's Teresa. Teresa. I bet yeah. Ramona doesn't either, but Teresa never watches.
Yeah, so he doesn't watch the shows. I mean, I don't know how truthful that is, but that's what he says. And I thought about that watching this episode because all I could think of is Paige okay?
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean... Yeah. Here's what I'll say. Cast members are always given episodes before they air.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far in advance. It's usually probably like 2 or 3 days before it's going to air.
Mm-hmm.
So that they just kind of have a heads up on what the episode's going to be about. So
they backlash.
The backlash. They can also, you know, social media, like have a better understanding.
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, it's funny because you would think that they'd give it to them like, hey, you know, any last minute changes before we air it. But no, it's not that. They just want to show them how awful they were. No, but they are given the episodes.
Yeah.
And Craig admitting that he doesn't watch the show. I don't know, because if he doesn't watch it, he doesn't know what to expect. But I feel confident in saying that Paige definitely watches.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Paige is watching it. So,
yeah. So if Paige is watching it and he doesn't, and she comes to him and asks, hey, what's going on? I feel like any cast member, Craig is going to evade and say things like, it's the edit. It's not, none of this is, and kind of give it an excuse. So then it's more of, is Paige going to accept that and believe it? How could she? She's also on a Bravo show, so she gets the process.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of have like blind loyalty to him, which is where we find a lot of these relationships on any of these shows. Blind loyalty. I don't know. Here's what I'll say. If I were Paige and I was in the situation, I'd feel like absolute shit watching it.
Well, but here's the thing that we don't know.
Yeah.
And because I feel like Craig can sometimes be, I don't want to say like just like a liar, but I feel like Craig can sometimes just say things that he thinks people want to hear.
Yeah.
But like when at the end of the scene, well,
like he graduated law school and he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then we find out like, in season fucking 4 or 3 that he's lying.
I wonder how honest he's been with her, because if he's been really honest with her, then this is going to be hard to watch, but she can make it through it because he's been honest. But like an example, like tonight's episode or whatever fucking theirs, this week's episode at a Bravo. When this, this week's episode.
Shut up.
At the beginning, I can't talk. Okay, scratch it all because it's at the end. Okay.
So at the beginning of...
Okay. You better write this down. Okay, thank you, producer.
She's probably going to leave it in, as she should.
Bitch, this is my edit. Yeah. She's like, fuck her.
I need Chris Cullen.
At the end of this week's episode, he is telling Naomi, because Austin has been like, no, he only said he slept with you once. And then, of course, Craig comes in and he goes, no, we slept together twice. I told Paige that. And I'm like, but did you tell Paige that? Those are the things that we'll never know, I guess, because we're not in their relationship. But those are the things that I would almost be willing to bet as a betting woman that maybe she doesn't know. Like, I feel like he's kind of the guy that's like, oh yeah, Naomi and I slept together, but he's not going to get the details. Like, we slept twice together and one was in the night, one was in the day, one was in the shower, one was in the bed. Like, he's not going to give those type of details away. So I don't necessarily know that. I just have a feeling that that's going to be kind of gut-wrenching for her to hear, just because I feel like he's probably not going to admit all the details.
I think by now, she knows that he slept with her twice.
Because she saw it on the show?
No, because enough people probably were talking about it when they filmed this that he couldn't not tell her.
Okay.
All right. What I will say is that at the time when he's talking to Naomi, no, I don't think he had told her then, because if he had had told her, he would have just admitted from the onset that he slept with Naomi twice. He would have just said that to Shep and or Austin and or anybody. But instead, his narrative is, I slept with her once.
Mm.
But then he sits down with Naomi and he changes it.
Because she's telling us the truth. And he's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think probably telling Naomi that he told Paige is what prompted him to actually tell Paige. So that things could align.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they don't call lawyers liars for nothing.
Liar, liar.
Yeah. I think... I mean, yes, I'm curious how the rest of the season is going to go with him, but I'm starting to feel like he's kind of dancing around what the truth is in the same way that he was lying about law school. Like it was always rooted in truth, but details were different every time he told the story. And, it just always kind of changed. And that's how it feels right now.
Well, I think that he's always been very heartbroken over Naomi. And I think this is his time, because now that he's in a relationship, he's happy. This is his time to be kind of like, I'm in a better place. And, she's fawning after me and we slept together, but it was closure for me. I don't want anything else to do in a romantic sense. But for her, I could tell she wanted more.
I think he's projecting.
Well, it's also like, who are you to say that? Did she say that? I can't imagine Naomi being like, I really want more, Craig. I want to sleep with you more. We know that Naomi, well, we don't know, but I would assume that Naomi did not say that. But I think it feels good for Craig to, like you said, project that. And especially to tell that to Shep and Austin that we hooked up but that was it for me. That's all I needed. Yeah, but I think it was harder for her. It's like, okay, you're saying that because it was harder for you a handful of years ago, and you probably have never gotten over it.
I mean, look, he experienced closure in a way that, given any opportunity, talking to anybody, anyone, is telling some kind of fucking anecdote about their relationship and being at that house.
Yeah,
I was like, I saw it. No, I was watching, and I'm like, dude, shut up. He's doing it so horribly. I really believe that he doesn't even realize he's doing it. It's when we talk about an ex and we don't realize that we talk about that ex that much until a friend of us points out, hey, you've been talking about your ex a lot. And I just feel like you say that you're over her, but are you?
Yeah.
Because.
Well, all I can go off of what I'm seeing, and it looks like to me that he's way more into, or I don't want to say into, he has much more unresolved feelings for Naomi than maybe Naomi has for him. Like he's holding on to more of that relationship than she is.
Yeah.
But he's really wanting to paint the picture that it's the other way around. Bless his drunken heart. He's trying.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going to go, but I don't think Naomi's going to put up with that shit. So
no, of course not. I love cast members who everything that they're saying, what am I trying to say?
They're saying all the right things.
Yes, thank you. They're saying all the right things. Everything on paper looks good. But the camera never lies.
Mm-hmm.
Because we catch everything, every nuance, every eye blink, every, smirk, everything. And they don't realize they're doing it. And so, you know, they're saying all the right things, but the emotions, the facial expressions, the vernacular, it just doesn't, it's not really matching what we're saying.
Well, and also, if you notice, he's always the one that's kind of bringing it up and talking about it.
That's what
and
I mean.
And every time Naomi brings it up, it's because somebody's asked her to talk about it. She's not just bringing it up to bring it up. Right.
You mean like somebody at the party's asking, oh, how's it like?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And he's just kind of finding a way to bring it up into conversation. Well, I
mean, the car ride over.
Yeah.
To Pringle. The party of Pringle.
Yeah. The snack tray.
The fucking snack tray. And he's like, yeah, I used to live on the street. I would turn this corner. I mean, he is giving us a play by play of the fucking drive.
Yeah.
The street.
Those are the things I think might be hard for Paige to watch.
Well, because he's reminiscing, but it's not just like, oh, my ex lives on the street. Or like, oh, when Naomi and I dated, I lived on the street. It's, you know.
It's going to be hard for me because I really like Paige, but I also really like Naomi. I mean, I'm not trying to pick sides here, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, then they arrive at the party. And did you notice that Craig just walked in like he owned the place?
Oh, yeah, I did.
It's just.
Yeah. I saw that.
I was like, I did think that was familiar here. Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel like he felt comfortable because he used to do that all the time.
He lived there, basically.
Yeah, essentially. He lived there. You know, probably did a lot of other things there with Naomi. I mean, you know. But I can only imagine that he's like walking through the house and, you know, the memories
are just coming back.
Yeah, because then he goes outside.
Yeah.
And who does he tell first about, oh, Naomi and I used to come out here and... Was it Olivia? I think it was Olivia. I can't remember if she asked, but I think she does. I think she asks him, you know, how does it feel? I also think she's asking more in jest. Like, how does it feel being at your ex's place? And it's not
like last September, I could smell the dew on the leaves. Yes. It's like so specific. She's like, whoa.
She's like, fuck. What did I get myself into? She's wondering, like, where are the tissues, guys? I feel like I have to wipe away some tears.
I was just trying to do very, like, party conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, she didn't get what she bargained for. And then Craig goes into a whole fucking thing. And then I think he talks to Naomi later. He's like, I told Pringle about the cheese tray. And she goes, I know. Because Pringle told me that you told him about the cheese tray.
She's like, I can't believe you remember that.
Yeah. Look, if Naomi still has a lot of feelings for him, she's doing a hell of a lot better job
better
of playing it off.
Better poker face. Correct. Better poker face.
Where
hardcore.
Where she lacks in the poker face is when she's sitting with Austin, and Austin's kind of giving her the play-by-play and like of what Craig has said, and you know, he said all these things, and I gotta be honest, I was a little surprised because, again, just like I feel like I'm seeing season three Craig, I'm seeing season three, season four Naomi. Her immediate response is, I don't believe Craig would ever say those things. And I'm like, whoa, hello. You don't believe? Because he told you to lie for him about law school and being a lawyer. Mm. What do you mean? He's pathological. How can you like?
Well, I think when it's about her, maybe it's a different sentiment. Like she holds herself to a higher standard in his eyes than maybe, you know, it's different if he's lying. If I'm in on the lie and I'm lying to you about something obsolete like law school, I mean, I get it's a big deal. That's different than like.
Is it a big deal? I feel like it's a big deal.
I don't know anything about the law other than Legally Blonde. But other like, but that scene, I think she took it more personally because it was about her.
Yes. So, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, Austin's tricky for me because I never know. Not that Austin doesn't tell the truth, but I feel like it's one of those things that's like, it's telephone. Like somebody will whisper something to Austin and then like wind will happen, nature happens. And then like he spits out some really bizarre version of what he heard. I mean, it might never be really exactly what was said. But I also don't trust Craig. So it's a very interesting battle.
Exactly. It's who's telling the
truth? Who do I really believe? Do I believe that Austin has a weird skewed version? Or do I believe that Craig really said it and Craig's trying super hard to, you know, play both sides? I think both can be true. I think both can be true.
I do think it's funny that it is like a game of telephone, except for usually it's a direct source to Austin. But the way that he regurgitates it, you would have thought he heard it from 16 people. It's so bad. I'm like, dude, do you not remember?
Yeah.
He is, to me, he's hyperbolic. He's like, they hit me and they flash and it's like a high five. Exactly. Like it's like Rudy Giuliani this week was like, it felt like I got shot. And then you watch the video and it's a pat on the back.
Oh my God. He's like, I have to go to my doctor to see if I have more medical damage.
Yeah. I felt like I was shot.
God.
Like, fuck. Shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
Another liar and a lawyer.
God. Liar, liar.
Liar, liar.
Same thing.
Here's what I'll say. Do I think Austin hyperbolizes? Yes. Is it a more dramatic version of the truth? Of course. But I do think that Craig is lying.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Craig is lying. Because in that moment when he's talking to Naomi, he's basically just saying everything she's saying. Oh, yeah. It was two times. Yeah. Like, I think what Naomi's saying is the truth. And I think that
I never told him I was in love with him.
What?
At Catherine's party. When the three of them are outside, they're talking about Naomi, and that's when Craig's admitting that he slept with her.
Right, right, right.
Also, an opportunity for Craig to say he slept with her twice, but mm-hmm, he doesn't, says mm-hmm. he slept with her once. And what he's saying is, you know, like, sleeping with her was a closure that I need, and I know that I don't need this, and I think that she has more feelings for me than, you know, I realized or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin's telling his hyperbolized version of that to Naomi.
Right.
And Naomi, before she says, look, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if Craig would ever say those things. She does say, I never said that to him. I never said that,
right.
You know, I still had all these lingering feelings. I'm sure they had some conversation where they talked about their lingering feelings.
Yeah.
But we have to understand from the time that they slept together, which is late July, it's been probably 2 months. By the time Naomi has this party, it's been probably around 6 to 8 weeks since they slept together.
Okay.
So I feel like at that point, if Naomi has lingering feelings, which I think exist a little bit, she already knows that Paige and Craig are in it.
Yeah.
So there is a level where once she realizes that, it's like, yeah, your feelings linger, but you start to separate yourself from the ideology or thoughts of getting back together.
Yeah.
My point being is that I feel bad for Naomi and I feel bad for Paige.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, what does she say to him? She was like, he's like, no, babe. He calls her babe.
Oh, he did. Oh, he did call her that. He did call her that.
And
I had to rewind that part because I was thinking maybe he said something else. And again, I think he was drunk. So I don't know. But I think he did call her babe.
Yeah. I don't know what she's. I think she said something like, you know, we were toxic and we were this, that, and the other. And he was like, babe, we had a great relationship. But the second he says babe, first of all, he is very fucking wasted by this point.
Yeah.
Because his eyes are like slow blinking. Mm-hmm. But he's sober enough to recognize almost immediately after he says babe, he almost tries to. It's almost as if he thinks he said babe, but he's too drunk and doesn't realize he said the whole word. And he tries to backpedal and he just slumps in the chair and he kind of smiles because he knows he just fucked up.
That was a weird scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm eager to see how that plays out, but my money's on Naomi. I think she can handle herself and whatever is coming in this disaster. I don't know how much Paige is going to be in this season.
Yeah.
It just, if he's trying to create the narrative, because listen, let's pretend, which I don't think is the truth, but let's pretend that Naomi has all of these pent up feelings and she really wants to get back together with Craig and X, Y, and Z. What woman wants to be portrayed like that? Like, oh, well, I've moved on, but she's hung up on me and she wants to be with me.
Of course.
Nobody wants to be painted that way. And I also don't think that that's really how she feels. I think that just like Craig, there's always going to be a part of both of them that love each other and, you know, have a soft spot. But like, I don't see Naomi as some girl that's like waiting for like Paige and Craig to break up so she can like swoop in. I don't think she's even really thinking about that at all. And I think it's going to piss her off that he's kind of creating this story that she's, you know, she's still into me because Matul fucked her over and she knows that I was right. And I made her tell me that she was right. Or I made her tell me that I was right about Matul and X, Y, and Z. And she never resolved her feelings. It's like, okay, but
more importantly, just given what we've seen of Naomi on the show before, she has a lot of integrity. And, you know, at first glance, she should be mad at Craig for saying all these things, because I also think that he is kind of projecting his own feelings and saying that they're hers.
Right.
That's one challenge to overcome. But more importantly, I can almost guarantee, given what we've seen in the past, she would never want Paige to feel as though there's somebody swooping in.
Sure.
Because I just don't think that that's who Naomi is.
I don't think so either.
At all. And for me, it's like, yeah, fuck Craig and I can be mad at him, but I would care more about the other girl. And I don't want, you know, because women should band together.
Yeah.
And I would care more about how Paige feels and want Paige to know with confidence that I'm not doing anything that's unsavory.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree.
And that Craig is portraying something more than what it is. I just kind of feel like he's kind of fucking her over. And well, the reason why I think he's fucking her over because he's saying all that stupid shit, but then like his face and his feelings and the babes and going around the party and making rounds, telling the story about the cheese plate and, you know, reminiscing about their relationship. Like it was the fucking Notebook, because we all know that's Craig's favorite movie.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, poor Craig.
Well, last season.
I love that he thinks that. Does he think he's a Ryan? Or what's his name in that movie? What? Ryan Gosling. What's his name? Probably. Oh, Noah. No, is it?
Well, it's Noah. Last season.
Bless his heart for thinking he's that.
Well, last season in the last episode, I think it's one of his last scenes. He takes his then girlfriend, Natalie, who he also said he was falling in love with, need I remind you, back then.
I don't remember that.
He takes Natalie out on a date. But the date is where they shot the scene of the rowboat and the doves.
That's just a beautiful scene.
I know.
But that's just a beautiful locale.
I know.
Locale? What do you call it?
Locale.
A locale.
Yeah. Sugar-free. No, what I'm saying is he recreated that Notebook date for Natalie.
Okay.
Which kind of just goes more towards the fact that the Notebook's one of his favorite movies.
Well, or it's just a beautiful place to bring somebody, but
fine, whatever.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I just think that he's digging a hole and doesn't realize it.
Well, I'm here for Naomi and I'm also here for Paige. So yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And I don't even know.
Oh, forgot about this.
What?
Olivia goes inside and starts that
weird fight.
I want to know your take on this because
that was so weird.
She joins the girls.
Yeah.
Can we just please? Madison Simon needs to go.
Who?
Exactly.
Who's that?
Madison Simon is the one who owns the store.
Wait, but that's not her.
Madison.
Oh, there's two Madisons.
Exactly. Okay. I call her Madison 2.0.
Who is she? Exactly. She's the one in the middle?
She was the one wearing an orange dress.
Okay.
She owned.
That's not going to do it for me.
She sitting next to Vanita on the bench.
Okay. Yeah,
the one
in the middle.
Yes. Okay. She owns the store that everybody shops at in town.
Okay.
Okay. She needs to go. I think that she's a scene killer and I think she's a scene interrupter. No one cares about her fucking opinion.
Okay.
Goodbye. Madison 2.0.
Yeah. I could do without her.
I mean, I can't even believe that you don't remember her because she overpowered.
Who was she last season?
She wasn't anybody. She's kind of just a friend of the group.
And well, maybe that's the biggest compliment, that she's unforgettable. I mean, I'm sorry, unrememberable. I don't remember her at all. I will say when I saw that scene, she looked sort of she looked familiar, but.
Well, what's so funny is that I love that you can't remember her because she was a large part of the Catherine monkey emoji stuff of last season.
Okay, well I do not,
anyway, we don't
I
have to go.
Not remember her.
We don't have to go in depth, but she needs to go. So Olivia comes in. And Vanita, Madison Simon, Leva, and Patricia, and Naomi are all kind of talking about Catherine's party, mm-hmm. and it really didn't end on a good note. You know, Naomi's basically regaling everybody and kind of taking them back to what had happened, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Olivia casually comes in, joins mm-hmm. the conversation. Again, poor Olivia, she just never, you know, she never gets what she bargains for. And I feel like this is happened to her several times tonight where she like asks a question and doesn't realize it's going to be a calamity. Anyway, so when Naomi's explaining to everybody what had happened, you know, she is really heavily putting it all on Catherine. And Olivia brings up the fact that, you know, you remember that we talked at the party, right? And Naomi says, yeah. And she goes, okay, but what I don't understand is I know because I was with her that Catherine extended a peace offering, an olive branch. Okay.
Yeah, to come.
But if you remember our conversation, Naomi, when we talked at the party, you were telling me that you didn't want to be here and you like didn't know why you were there. You didn't want to be there. And what I don't understand is if somebody is extending an olive branch, why are you then saying you don't want to be there? Pick a lane.
Yeah.
Either be accepting of the olive branch and do your best to figure it out. Meaning,
or maybe, don't go.
Exactly. Like if Catherine's extending an olive branch and this conversation comes up, I don't want to say be the bigger person, but understand that when you accepted the olive branch, you may have to have hard conversations. You may not agree with Catherine, but you are opening yourself up and being vulnerable to the fact that maybe a conversation is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you're at her event.
Yeah.
And yeah, to me, accepting the invitation, it kind of made it seem like in Naomi's perspective that she accepted the olive branch so she can go and like get free drinks and have food and hang out with her friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like to kind of be with the group, she had no real intention of really seeing Catherine,
of course
talking
not.
To Catherine. And not saying that like that event that Catherine had was the environment where they needed to have like a super heart to heart, but obviously Catherine felt a certain way about how they greeted each other and it just went downhill from there.
But then why go? And that's what Livia's point is.
Exactly.
Why did you go?
Exactly. And listen, I agree. I actually agree with Olivia in the response that these women gave her.
Yeah.
Was,
I'm dying to know what you thought.
Well, I thought it was a bit alarming. The way that they edit the video, it's hard.
The video.
Sorry.
The VCR tape.
The way they edited the VCR, whatever, the scene, like it does seem like Olivia kind of came in and it, like she interrupted the conversation, which I could see like how that would be like, why are you interrupting the conversation? Like, why are you talking? Like, where did you come from? But at the same time, like she deserves to be there. She deserves to have her own opinion. And she's the only one that's bringing a different perspective.
Yeah.
To this conversation, which none of them are having the ears to intake it.
No. And what she says to them is, guys, I'm not picking a side. I'm being objective. I just want to know why go if you don't want to be there.
Right.
And then Vanita.
Well, it was Vanita, really. Because honestly, like you look at Naomi, Naomi was like, well, I went because Naomi kind of, she said her explanation and then she like shut her mouth. It was Vanita and then that other girl, Madison 2.0.
Yes. Ugh.
It was the two of them that were like, and it's like, what? So I thought that was outrageous.
Well then, yeah. And then Naomi's like, I mean, not Naomi.
Olivia.
Olivia then says, I'm not doing this. Y'all need to calm down.
Yeah. Don't tell me to calm down.
Yeah. I
need to calm down.
You know me and I know you and we do not police people's feelings. People are entitled and privileged and whatever.
On Bravo, though, I do sometimes.
Well, of course. And people are allowed to feel how they feel. Okay. And I'm not invalidating how Vanita, whatever, I'm not talking about the other one. I'm not invalidating how Vanita felt. But given that this conversation and Olivia's question is really more surrounded Naomi, Vanita took a stance as if it was a person, like, what? She took a stance as if it was her. Like she's vicariously
as
living
if it
through
was
Naomi.
Catherine. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because I don't remember if Vanita said this in her confessional or if she said it in that scene, but she was like, I mean, Catherine's racist. Do you remember her saying
she did.
Something
so
like that?
So she says it there in the conversation where it starts off is, you know, I don't need you to tell me to calm down. What bothers me is not how she feels about that. Like, I get it. She tells Olivia to call, you know, you don't need to tell me to calm down. Olivia doesn't think that she's being aggressive, but it is what it is. What really bothered me is that then Vanita goes, you know, I didn't even have to be there. Okay, but
why'd you go?
Exactly. So you are just proving the point that she's making, and by the way, why is this about you? I understand why she still feels a certain type of way about Catherine, because if you remember the way that it ended last season, it's like Leva, Craig, mm-hmm. Vanita and Danny.
Madison. I forgot about Danny.
Madison LaCroix, but no, I mean, I feel bad to say this, but Danny should have always stayed as a friend of.
Was she ever a main?
Yes.
Was last season she was a main?
Yes. And I think that's kind of what did her end. But my point is that it ended last season with them having a really you know, intimate, probably uncomfortable conversation circling around.
Race and
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But since then, we've moved on. And so for Vanita to point out, well, I didn't even have to be there given everything she said last season, I'm going, but hold on a second. I'm not saying that you have to forget what she did. But if we've all moved on, including Leva herself, I don't want to say moved on because I think people deserve however long they want to process and go through things. Mm-hmm. But I think my point is that, you know, she accepts an invite to go to Catherine's party, Vanita does. And last season ended on, you know, a bad note, but also a high note because they had this conversation and it's great. And since then, we are not led to believe anything's happened. So in this moment, leaning into, well, I didn't need to be there. First of all, I'm wondering, why does it matter? This is not about you. This is about Naomi and Catherine's relationship that's much more longstanding. And also, why are you making this about you?
Right.
If you want to have a separate conversation about how you feel, then that needs to be a separate conversation. Kind of writing or leaning in or, you know, piggybacking off of what this is didn't seem like a fair argument because it wasn't about why you were there. It was about why Naomi decided to be there. So I feel like, you know, Madison Simon and Vanita, just like you said, they're like talking over Olivia and it just turns sour. And then Olivia's like, peace.
Well, yeah, I just thought it seemed very misplaced. Mm-hmm. It's like they were yelling at the wrong person. It's like they've had this pent up anger and they're just trying to, I don't know. They're killing. I don't even want to say they're killing the messenger because she's not a messenger. She's just stating how she felt in this particular situation, her own perspective. But what I will say, which I was very happy about, and I don't know if this is because she wants to be perceived because she's a new cast member. I don't know what it is.
Interesting.
But I did appreciate when Vanita came up and apologized.
Yeah.
To Olivia, because again, like I don't know if she was really sincerely.
I felt the same way.
But I also feel like there's these two people don't have any beef. Like these two people don't have any. They're fighting over something, a person that's not even there. And yeah. I don't know.
It's so almost like they both admit that they overreacted.
Right. So yeah. I do appreciate that she apologized. And I also really appreciate that Olivia, instead of just being like, oh, no, it's okay. I like that Olivia was like, thank you. I appreciate that.
And that was it.
Because I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes when like people overreact and we have to have them apologize or they actually do apologize, we always have to overcompensate, be like, oh no, don't worry. It's okay. It's okay. Like I'll speak for myself. I always, oh no, it's okay. But like the fact that she was like, I really appreciate that. Thank you for apologizing. I was like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
I really like Olivia.
Yeah. Really strong. Very strong. You can already tell that she marches the beat of her own drum. She's not a big follower. Yeah. Like she just does her own
thing. Well, and also the way that she just, and I think maybe this is what got Vanita, like the way that she just disengaged and she, not speaking of my woman from Salt Lake City.
I'm disengaging.
Meredith.
I'm disengaging.
But she literally, she's like, I'm not doing this. And she just walked away. And I think maybe that's what, I honestly think that reaction made them be like, oh, maybe we came too harshly and I don't know.
I think if they came to her first having grievances and then she walked away, it would really feel like she's trying to be avoidant. But because she came to them and they're not listening to her, they're talking over her, they cannot stop talking for even a second for her to even get a word in. I mean, I've been in
situations. Well, they hear Catherine and they see red.
Yeah.
They see red.
I've been in situations like that. And I'm like, this is not conducive to anything that I'm trying to get at here. This is not, we're just not really going anywhere. So why don't we take a beat and I'm leaving? Cause I'm not doing this. I was wondering, you know, I was wondering how the audience would perceive this because I can see both sides, but for me, it didn't feel like a weak moment. It felt like a strong moment.
For what?
For Olivia to walk away.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
No, I thought so too, because I think a weak moment would have been her standing there and yelling back like,
yes,
no.
Exactly.
And exactly what she said at the beginning. I have no, also, what is this saying? I have no stake.
I have no stake in the game.
Okay, I was like, stake, snake. I have no stake in the game. So yeah, I think for her, you know, she was just trying to bring a different perspective on you know, yeah, Catherine may be in the wrong, but also Naomi, you accepted the olive branch and you said that you didn't want to be there, but yet you were there, which is why my point is like, she was there for the free food and free drinks. And listen, no judgment here. I would have done the same thing, but I would have maybe been acting like I had more fun, but.
Yeah, I totally understood it. I also hated that they accused her of, well, did you tell Catherine? Did you tell
Catherine what?
Basically like.
About the food?
Because, okay, so the conversation that Olivia has with Naomi happened before Catherine and Naomi got into it at her birthday. So they accuse her of telling Catherine what Naomi said in that conversation. And that's speculate or pontificate that that's why Catherine got upset. And she's trying to
I didn't say that. She's like, I didn't say anything.
They won't even fucking listen to her. Shut up.
Yeah.
Stop.
Well, I do like that she was like, no, I did not say anything. I didn't say anything to her. Whatever.
And the irony about it all is Naomi seems the most unbothered.
That's what I'm saying. Naomi, like, that's the interesting thing is Naomi, she says her piece. She's like, oh, because what's her face? Olivia asked her point blank, like, why did you show up? She's like, well, you know, I showed up because it's an olive branch, X, Y, and Z.
And I was hungry.
And that was it. Yeah. And then everyone else besides Patricia went off on a little, you know, frenzy. But
well, this is how I know that Naomi was so unbothered. Because when she's talking to Craig later on, I think Austin, no, it was because when she's talking to Austin later on, I think Austin asks her about Olivia, or is it Craig? Who is it? Whatever, I can't remember. So later on, Naomi's either talking to Craig or Austin, I can't remember. And they ask her, like, is everything okay with Olivia? And without skipping a beat, Naomi goes, yeah, Olivia and I are going to be okay. Anyway.
Oh, it's Leva. She's talking to Leva.
Oh, she is.
It's Leva.
Oh, that's what it is.
She goes, because okay. Leva's like, oh, I really wanted you and that's what it was. Much. Leva was like, I really wanted you and why Olivia to get along. And Naomi was like, oh, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's what was so great about
that's
that.
That's what it was.
Because Leva was like, oh God, I wanted y'all to be friends. And Naomi was like, we'll be fine.
I just don't understand why everybody's crying over Naomi's bullshit. Like, stop it. It has nothing to do with
Naomi's
you.
Naomi's not crying.
That's my point. You got Madison, Simon, and Vanita going in on it while Naomi's staying quiet. Then you got Leva being like, is everything going to be okay? And Naomi literally could not give a one flying fuck. She's like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
No. She doesn't. It. So.
Well, all in all, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I'm excited to see where things go.
Yeah.
I'm curious why I didn't talk about Little Craig, because Little Craig is my favorite of the ensemble, and apparently he got in trouble in this episode with Craig, but Craig did not discipline him.
He's like,
Little Craig, you bad boy, you chewed up your last little toy.
Oh, got it. Shep.
What? Well, yeah, it was Little Craig. Little dog's Little Craig.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Craig was with Little Craig.
No, sorry, Shep was a little Craig. Sorry.
And I was confused. I was like, wait, was there a scene where Craig's talking about his penis? I'm so confused. What is going on? I'm like,
well,
oh, wait,
maybe
no, Shep.
To come, but no, Shep.
But I'm bumped to come. Yes,
to come,
great.
Literally. Oh God.
Do you think he masturbates to old diary entries about Naomi
with the cheese plate or the snack plate? He puts that next to him to get him in the mood.
This is what I imagine. He walks into a room. He dims the lights.
Are you going to do your whispering right now?
No, I'm just
I can feel you getting in the mood to do your whispering.
The way that I imagine it is that he's walking through a hallway. He turns down the AC to make it nice and cool. Then he walks into his room with a bottle of wine and a glass and his cheese plate in his other hand. Yeah. And then he sets that down. Then he dims those lights. He lights one of his candles that he sells at Sewing Down South. He unbuttons his shirt. And then he's kind of just sitting there with like boxers and then pulls out an old diary of entries about his relationship with Naomi. And then he goes, oh, wait, I forgot one thing. And then he goes into the bathroom and grabs the Sewing Down South lotion. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I forgot another thing. And then he goes in and then he gets a T-shirt, a Sewing Down South. Then he grabs a Sewing Down South T-shirt because he either needs tissues. He doesn't have tissues. So he's grabbing a shirt. Then he got the lotion. Then he cozies on in, pulls out the diary,
and then he goes to
read
sleep.
It, and cries while he's
Oh, Craig.
Yeah. I mean, well, I just want to know what kind of fucking cheese plate this was, because it's very memorable.
Well, he said it was a snack plate, which means it had a lot. It could have had a lot more things on there.
I just imagine cheese. It's one of those, like those four-sectioned cube of cheese and grape.
I just like how memorable it was for him and how unmemorable it was for Naomi. Because when Pringle told Naomi, she was like, oh, what? Wow, he told you that? I didn't even know he remembered that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, cheese plates. But he has said that if he had to give up sex or cheese, he'd give up sex.
How come I don't know this about him? He loves it. Cheese?
Yes. He's well, I think we're making the connections now that he loves cheese. He said this on this last season of Summer House.
But does or he no, eat it with he said meat this on this too, last season does of he Winter just House. Do cheese?
No, I think he does meats and cheeses. But This season on Winter House, they're all sitting around the table, and Paige or somebody asks before they were dating, you know, if he had to give up cheese or sex, what would it be? And Austin's like, yeah, easy. Craig's always said that he would give up sex over cheese. And Craig said, yeah. I don't know what his reasoning was. Oh, you know what it is? Because he never wants to forget the memory of Naomi and the cheese plate. And he feels like if he doesn't continue on the tradition of eating cheese, he'll forget.
Well, with Naomi, he can have sex and cheese. That's all he really wants.
Oh, my God. Craig. What are you doing, dude?
Craig.
And I know Austin's going to get dragged for being a snitch, but for me...
A snitch for what?
For fucking telling people about this and telling Naomi about that and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, but listen, I think everyone on Southern Charm will get their day in the sun where they get dragged.
Yeah.
So maybe this is Austin's turn. I think Craig's is coming.
Well, I think he softened up.
Definitely think Shep is coming, so...
Well, Austin also seems like he's loosened up since last season. He doesn't feel as on edge.
Yeah. Well, because Madison is out of the picture.
Well, they have a moment, by the way. They have a moment outside, like you were saying, when she points out that they're wearing the same shirt. And he seems unbothered. He seems fine.
I think that's a good look for him.
My guess is the engagement is really what does it. And it's the nail in the coffin for him. And then he hates her again.
Who did she get engaged to?
Her fiance.
Who's that?
Bradley?
Cooper? It's the only Bradley I know.
Bradley? Brent?
Brent? Bradley Brent. Brent?
No, his name's Brent.
Oh, okay. I was like, yikes.
It's somebody that doesn't even live in South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Well, he lives in California or something.
Okay, good. And that might be a good fit for her.
Yeah. There just needs to be enough distance for people not to really see who she is.
Right. No,
I love Madison.
Would like for her, she didn't need to be an all-time castmate, but I'd like for her to pivot in to fuck around with Austin. I like that.
Of course. I don't think we're seeing the end of that. And the reason why I say that is because she just recently dragged him and Olivia on social media.
Why? Because are they still together, Olivia and Austin?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is last weekend when the episode aired, Olivia in her confessional talking about Catherine's party and Madison showing up says, you know, like, I don't want to be on a date with Austin and he's talking about homegirl. So then Madison then makes a post on Instagram and she says, I think what she says is, I'd rather be a home girl than homely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then Olivia posts homely, a more like homebody. And she has, it's a picture of her eating Doritos.
Okay. I, of course, didn't see any of that.
And what I'm a social media person, you don't listen to podcasts.
I did. Listen, I am social media. I'm an Instagram person and a TikToker. I did not see that initial exchange because I don't follow either of them.
I know.
But what I did see is our dear friend Maggie that we had on last week.
Yeah, we had Maggie on last week. Master Bravo.
She posted on her story, if this is what homebody looks like, sign me up or something. And it was like, I think it was Olivia like doing.
Yes, it's the same post.
Okay.
And by the way, not for nothing, this is where I get most of my information from.
Then don't drag me. Okay.
Well, because they do all the legwork. I don't have to then go to this account, exactly. Then to go to the other
That's
account.
That's how I feel about the Swifties. I'm like, I want to know everything about Taylor Swift, but I don't want to do any of the work.
No, of course
and they
not.
Do everything for me. Yeah. So I did see But I didn't know the context. So I didn't know it came from Madison. Yeah. I didn't know that that's what it was in response to. Yeah. But, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you, see, now we live in a world where we have Bravo and then we have the social media. And part of it's kind of fun and then part of it's not fun because it's like, we used to live in a time where we would have a trailer and we would really have to wait to see like, God, are they going to mend it? Are they going to be friends again? X, Y, and Z. And now we know. Now we know, oh, they hate each other or they, like, it's just and like
it kind of sucks.
A little bit of the, it does. A little bit of the suspense is gone. And it's not, listen, we still watch it all the same.
Of course.
But it takes a little bit of the fun out of it.
It does. Yeah.
But
look, Madison knows what she's doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
she... A plus.
She can come after J-Lo's, man. She can probably do anything.
I forget about that all the time.
Putting A-Rod on a pedestal. I think he's completely overrated. But if you can go after someone
so stupid to me, like
J-Lo is dating, like that. I mean, that takes some courage.
Well, as she said at the reunion,
what?
We've never met in person.
Oh, that's what she said about A-Rod?
Yes, it was like her. Again, Craig, the messiest fucking person on Bravo is Craig. Craig exposes her for, you know, having this affair with A-Rod and seeing him. And she's like, she basically doesn't deny anything that he says. But I've never actually seen him in person, though. But everything else happened.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's just fucking mess.
Mm. Well.
I'm curious how next week's going to be.
I think it'll be good. Yeah.
Shep throws a barbecue.
BB&Q.
They kind of like slip in something about a scare. I guess it's pregnancy. Oh, yes. My guess. Oh. It is pregnancy because we see, by the way, we didn't talk about this and we don't have to talk about it too much because we didn't really see her, but Marcy, Shep's cousin.
Oh, I actually really liked her.
Same.
Really liked her. And I like that they gave her own little confessional. I was like, let's creep her into the show. I liked her.
I love how she was like, John didn't know I had money until...
The prenup.
I gave him a prenup.
That's how you should do it. Yeah.
Amanda Petula, take note. Prenups are important.
Oh, yeah. She just couldn't.
She just doesn't know, she says.
She just doesn't know. And also, he's probably not nearly as wealthy as that woman was. So
absolutely not. They talk about that country club. Here's what I'll say. Southern Charm is the only show that I lean into the stupid shit that no one should care about because we need to stop living in a class system. But for the sake of watching the show and the entertainment of it, I was really into Marcy talking about the fucking Jupiter Country Club and you don't get, you know, you have to, it's invite only. Anyway, I liked her a lot. Really excited to see, you know.
I hope this isn't a one and done. I hope we get to see more of her.
No, I think she's a B cast member.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant. It's kind of cool.
Well, she said that she
kind of, it's, kind of the... it's only kind of cool to be pregnant. No, it is exciting. It's fun.
She's not boring like Teddy.
No, because the first thing she says out of the gate is, oh, well, he's drinking enough for the both of us. And and she says it with such spite and jealousy.
And Teddy just cries. She's like, I'm bored and pregnant.
They just always get told I'm boring. Okay. I'm not crying because I'm upset. I'm crying because it's the hormones.
She's like, I only get pregnant so people know why I'm boring.
Yeah, Marcy's just dying for her first drink. You can just fucking tell.
I really liked her.
Same. And I think that she'll be a nice foil for Shep. I think we'll get a better insight, you know, peel back a little bit more of a layer with Shep because it's his family. Somebody that...
Yeah. And two of the quote-unquote black sheeps. Even though now she's married and is having a baby, but...
Who? Oh, that's right.
That's what he said.
Yeah,
he
because goes, they were wild and they partied.
We were the only, you know, grandchildren that didn't have a baby yet or that were married. He's like, now I'm the only one.
Oh, shit. Because
she's married and having a baby, so. Yeah. But, all right.
I don't even know what we talked about. I fucking forgot everything we just said.
Week two, well, you know, it's a whirlwind.
Well, here's the thing. I got fingered by your dog.
Okay. All right. I don't know that it was that intense. I think he stepped on your thigh.
I don't want to diminish
your experience, but
first of all, you can't be like, well, all right, and then go, I don't want to diminish your experience as if it was something that was enjoyable. Okay. It most certainly was not.
I meant your, well, we gotta rub this out.
Well, yeah, because bestiality is not legal. Here's the thing, guys. Basically, a German shepherd fucking used my crotch as a launching pad to get off the couch because he was sitting, he was laying on me.
Was it really your crotch?
Yes! Did you not hear me go, oh!
I thought he just got your thigh.
No! His hind leg used my pubic bone to hoist himself off the fucking couch.
I'm not going to make it. Oh my God. I couldn't tell if it was pleasure or pain
because I haven't been touched in so long.
I will say that, you know, I took him to the vet recently. They did not cut his nails. They kept those things.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I have anecdotal experience.
I don't know why they didn't though.
I don't know, Betsy. Why didn't they? Because I think that if they had cut his nails,
they were like, I think your friend's going to come over. She's really going to enjoy him accidentally stepping on her crotch. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
But I've been traumatized.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Thanks for joining us. Oh, by the way, somebody DM'd us or commented on something. Because this is for you, because it's definitely not for me.
Oh.
They. What really sold them on our podcast is your hatred for Kyle. Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to say that I hate Kyle, but it's a yikes deal.
Okay. You never say anything positive about her, so I would
let
you
be. My positive things, listen, if I meet Kyle in real life, I'm going to say the only things I like about you are the only things you like about yourself, your family, and that you have good children. That's the only thing she cares about. And her perspective. You know, how she perceives herself, which I think is garbage. So we'll have to disagree on that.
How she perceives herself?
Well, how she wants the world to perceive her.
Yeah.
Okay, bravo, bravo, bravo. Denise Richards forever.
All right, guys. I just want you all to take everything that we've said with a grain of salt.
Tons of grains of salt.
Yeah, we're drunk. By the way, drunk man's words, sober man's thoughts.
It's true. It's true.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a great day.
Bye.